7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 77. Not quite the deuce, the 7-7 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson. And as always, I have my buddy hanging out with me today, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
I'm on a diet, so if I seem a little hangry.
Oh, no. You're not. What kind of diet are you doing?
I really just tried to kind of watch my calories and get more active. It's not anything. Not like South Beach or anything that's, you know, in a book anywhere.
So you didn't do like Atkins or paleo or any of that stuff?
No, because I mean, I hate like where I'm only going to eat a certain type of thing. I'd rather just be like, okay, I know I've eaten about, let's say, 2,500, 3,000 calories. It's time to stop now.
I got you. So you're more like a portion control type thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That just feels easier for me. I mean, I love, you know, different kind. I would get bored if I was just eating a specific food, I think. Unless it was, I don't know, chocolate or something. But even then, I'd probably get tired of eating.
I mean,
nothing but chocolate.
I like pizza, but I don't think I could eat pizza every day. So
probably not every day.
I feel you.
Hamburgers, if I was, would be the thing where probably if I could pick something I could eat at least 3 or 4 times a week and not be unhappy, it'd probably be burgers. But
well, that's fair.
In any case, that'd be...
You could do a good variety of burgers.
I didn't have a quarantine 15, but it was about to get about the 8-9 pound there. I was like, yeah, okay, might as well.
Dude, it's funny you bring that up.
Get a handle on that.
I don't think I really like gained weight during this, but like I definitely lost some muscle because like... I haven't been out doing a bunch of running or walking. I haven't been out to play basketball or disc golf or whatever. Like it doesn't look awful, but like I can feel it. You know what I mean? If I go out and do some work in the backyard or something, like I can definitely tell there's a difference.
Me too. I was really like, we went to the park and like, okay, yeah, I'm winded way before I should be winded.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's one of those things I didn't really notice, but it started creeping up on me. And now I'm just like, yeah, I need it. It's at least now the weather's starting to warm up around here, so like I can start going outside a little more and it won't feel as bad. But it definitely got bad over the winter here for me. But I want to remind everybody, if you want to support the show, you can go over patreon.com/colormagic for just $2 a month. You can help us keep the lights on and really help keep sharing the positive messages and vibes that we try to put out around here. And I have some other good news. I have in my possession playmats and tokens. Both are soon going to be available. As soon as I get moved, because I'm moving probably the day after this goes live, I will be moving. So I'll be out of pocket for like 2.5 days. But after that's all done, I will get them up. And hopefully by next week's episode, I'll have a link we can share. And if you want some, we can get you Color Magic playmats and tokens with our lovely likenesses. Which, by the way, I think Brian came out better on this round of tokens. I think you did, dude. Yours is kind of sweet.
We're both far more swole than we were in real life.
Well, that's very true. That is.
So I think they're both like, you know, like, okay, Brian and Daquan, and then this is Brian and Daquan's actors playing him in the movie.
Stunt doubles. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I also want to tell people we do have a wonderful sponsor on the show, cardsphere.com. If you are looking to sell some cards, especially right now while Magic card prices are going bananas, if you want to kind of experiment, see what you can get for them, or maybe even find deals on some cards because maybe some things you want are getting too pricey, go check out cardsphere.com. There's a lot of times people are selling stuff well below market, and there's sometimes you can get a better price than you would get selling it to a vendor, or even better sometimes than what you get minus your eBay fees or whatever. So check it out over there. They're good, good people. They are supporters of our show. They're supporters of many quality content creators in the Magic space. So give them a look. Their site is cardsphere.com. Now, we have some fun things to get into today. Because this is exactly what the internet sounded like, I guess, over the weekend. When old Lil Nas X decided he wanted to debut this music video. Which, I get it. Artistry and all that. And you want to get a little wild. And, you know, so he does this video being like a fallen angel or something, pole dancing with the devil. And, you know, like, he's just that kind of dude, man. He's that kind of dude, right? So, like, I get it. I, you know, and
things I never thought I would heard or hear Daquan say, like, he's a fallen angel, pole dancing with the devil.
Hey, I'm just saying, go look up the video. Like,
the video, it's out there.
I don't know how else to describe it. That's it, right? But I, like, that part doesn't bother me so much, right? Like, when we were growing up, it was everybody was upset at, like, gangster rap. And then, like, the rock bands were satanic and, you know, people were trying to play albums backwards to hear the devil or whatever, you know, like all the dumb.
Before that, Dungeons and Dragons was full of demons.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that part doesn't even faze me. Like, people are going to do what they want to do. I get it. You're trying to get a rise out of people. It's going to get people to look at your videos. It's marketing, whatever. I get it. But to go along with this effort, he worked with a company called Mischief. And it's pronounced Mischief, but it's spelled M-S-C-H-F. So basically no vowels. They decided they were going to release these set of Air Force Ones, 666 of them, because, you know, you got to stay on brand with the promotion.
Yeah.
With all this, like, weird, I don't know, like, imagery on it with, like, bodies on top of bodies or where, I don't know. Like, you kind of know the stuff that goes with that. But supposedly the employees at Mischief have included a drop of actual human blood in the sole of every one of these shoes or whatever. But the thing that's getting them in trouble is that they keep making sure you know that these are Nike branded. I believe they are Air Force Ones. I can't remember which ones that they have taken 600 of these shoes and then, you know, done this variation of them.
Where is Nelly? Yeah, exactly. Is anyone talking to Nelly for his stance on the defacing of almost 700 Air Force yep. Ones?
Man, by the way, side note, if you ain't heard the song Stepped on My Jays from Nelly, you got to go listen to it. It's a hilarious song, and the music video is funny. But back on track here, because we're ranting. The idiotic thing is they have basically tried to oversell this thing and saying that, oh, well, you know, they're going to be these Nikes and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what's happening? Nike's getting a bunch of messages and complaints or whatever about their brand, and they have to keep telling people, like, we didn't have crap to do with this. So they were like, look, y'all, you got to stop because people think we're involved with this project and we're not. So now Nike has actually filed suit against Mischief. And they're probably going to be able to make some money because I would venture to guess all they have to show is all the conversations they've had, whether that's phone.
It's all over my Facebook. Probably yours too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
people tell me how they're never going to buy Nikes again. And like you said, they didn't do this.
Yep. So they're going to be able to show all these posts, all these messages, all the DMs. And then in their legal case, say, look, this is causing brand damage and we didn't have crap to do with this. So it's possible, because Mischief over there are idiots, they're going to lose significantly more money than they're going to make off these 666 pairs of shoes that they're selling for like $1,000 a piece.
Yeah. Of course, hopefully, you know, Lil Nas X makes good on whatever they end up losing. Because I didn't know who Mischief was last week. So, you know.
Oh, I know who they are.
If they play this right, they still turn a profit.
Let me say this. I know who they are now, and I still don't know who they are. Like, that's pretty much, like, the extent. Like, they, to me, I don't know. It, like, there's a bunch of random brands out there right now, man. Like, the Supreme, whatever, where you can have, like, a $3,000 white t-shirt that just says Supreme. Like, I don't understand that crap. Like, I could literally go get multiple pair of collector's sneakers for one basically plain white t-shirt. Like, I can't. I just can't.
I believe the prophet Macklemore said it best, and that's what I call getting swindled and pimped.
Yep.
That's what I call getting tricked by a business.
I just don't understand. I don't. You can't convince me. Like, I mean, I get it, right? The same way that people will buy a Dolce & Gabbana purse or a Coach belt or whatever for like 20 times what a regular one is.
I'll get that either. We're probably the wrong audience, you know, for the high dollar fashion or whatever.
See, the thing that messes me up, though, is people buy that, like, $3,000 Coach bag to put $50 worth of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Or they'll buy the whatever, like, $5,000 Versace belt to hold up, you know, $25 jeans. Like, I don't understand. Like, what's the point? Anyway, I'm done. Like, I like just this whole thing, just like marketing taken too far sideways, and people just get too full of themselves, and now they're gonna have to pay the piper. You know, like it's you did it to yourselves. But anyway, Brian, I'm gonna hand this crowd over to you because you've got something else.
I feel like mine's not going to be nearly as controversial because I'm just shamelessly self-promoting my DL Caesar YouTube channel. Though maybe, I don't know, maybe I need to cut myself and start selling Adidas who was my blood in it. Probably not.
Well, Run DMC already beat you to the Adidas thing.
They didn't put their blood in it, right?
No, they didn't. They did not. Hopefully.
But, you know, we talk about just like, we know like, It's pandemic time, or just in general, like, you know, money is hard to come by. We understand, you know, if you can't always send us cash, we appreciate what you do for us. So just, you know, clicking my link on you and Daquan's link also on YouTube, that just cost you no money, cost you about, you know, microsecond of your time, lets us keep making content. Let's just keep bringing in. Obviously, you like to hear me and us talk because you're listening to us right now. So. Same kind of stuff, talking about our card games, board games, video games, and when people are represented, when people are not represented. I do fun stuff, too. We do some kind of comedic videos and takes on things. But just, you know, DL Caesar, like the Roman Emperor, if you want to come by and check that out. It's kind of sort of a gaming pun that almost nobody gets, but hey. You know what I'm saying? I have to explain the joke, but. Okay, I have a couple of people that, I get it. Like, yeah, the Emperor deals. I see. Yeah, okay.
You know what I would say, you know, to kind of piggyback on this is, and I'm going to play, I don't want to like pull the race card here. So I'm trying to word this.
It's pulled. I feel I know, like.
But I'm trying like to word this a very specific way. But it's tough when you go through a stretch where people come out of the woodwork and say like, oh yeah, I need to be aware of these issues. And yeah, I really appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, I think what you're doing is important. And, you know, I want to support more people of color or whatever. And then like Black History Month passes and then it's crickets.
Crickets. Just do the same time, crickets.
You know, like that's kind of the issue. Like, and it's weird.
You go from having, you know, 40 or 50 requests for to talk or to be on things to, as you said, crickets.
Yeah. And
we noticed this, y'all. We I don't know if y'all know, but Black people, especially Black content creators, we talk amongst ourselves.
Well, not just that, but like it's already expected. So when it happens,
we understand. We understand everybody's going to call us in February to be on a thing, to come do a thing, to come talk to somebody, and then
oh man,
March. Hey,
that reminds me. Wait. You know what? I'm gonna get back on the soapbox. Hold on. First time ever. I got another rant. I got another rant. Y'all get triple soapbox. One of the things that because I told you before, I have people who when I started doing content. And I was explaining what I was going to do or whatever. We're telling me like, oh, I don't know if people are going to be interested. And like, it's kind of already crowded and there's already too many streamers and podcasts and blah, blah, and whatever. And I don't know if people get it and all that stuff. Right. Obviously had a year of success. Now some of those same people are coming back and asking for help or whatever. After telling me you weren't going to make it and nobody cared and this, that, and the other. Now they're looking for shortcuts. Of saying like, oh, well, I see that you've got 10,000 subscribers over on YouTube, or actually, hell, I don't know, 11,000 now. And like, you've got 4,000 followers on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And you did all this in like a year. Well, what do I need to do? And you know what? When I tell them like, cool, you can pay me and you can have as much of my time as you want. Immediately, they're out. So you want all of the work I did after telling me that like, I wasn't going to be crap. and like my idea was terrible or people weren't going to care or it's already too hard to make it in the space, blah, 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 blah. So now that I've done the work to figure it out, you want me to give you all that information for free.
Basically.
And
that checks out.
And this isn't a small number of people, mind you. Like, I've been talking to people in my Discord about it. I've been getting like 4 or 5 requests a week. Even during Black History Month, nobody wanted to pay to support your work. But they just wanted to get the rub for free. Though I will say this. This past week, I had 9 people. Because I was keeping track of them as I was talking with people in my Discord. I actually have 2 people that are taking me up. Matter of fact, when we're done with the show today, I'm going to be doing a consultation with somebody. And then I have another one on Saturday. So for the first time, I actually have 2 people who took me up on it. And they actually seem like they're serious about their content. So we'll see what happens. But it has definitely been a small bit of a frustration point to see all these people who are like, oh, yeah, I'm a big supporter. I love what you do, blah, blah, all this. And then the minute they're like, oh, yeah, like, you want me to actually pay to know all the things that you know now? No, never mind. I'm good. And they're still struggling. And I don't even feel bad about it. I ain't going to lie. Because I literally dedicate, in my already busy schedule, I dedicate time every week to go. And I've told you before, I go and watch stuff that's not even in the game space. Just so I can see how other people are doing things. What other topics are people talking about? What type of camera angles do they use? Like, taught myself lighting and how to edit things certain ways or whatever. Like, I'm spending real time to gather this knowledge base. Ain't no way I'm just going to give it all up for free. Don't get me wrong.
Confirm. I've seen all the, you know, we talk to each other all the time. So, and just what we have done over the past, well, like basically like a year.
Yeah.
Alan's Ever After and my Utica's. The only person I know probably doing as much research as Daquan is Tish. Just always looking at, watching people's content, looking at equipment, trying to figure out ways to do more, sometimes with less, and just try. Yeah, it's.
And here's the thing, like, I'm all for helping people, and I still will give. Matter of fact, I did it just the other day in a DM with somebody. You know, just gave them some free advice, help with their channel, whatever. But when it gets to the point that you want me to dedicate literally hours of my time, when I could, right now, literally, I could be spending it doing other things, whether that's packing up stuff to move, working on my own YouTube channel, you know, scripting stuff for the show for next week, whatever. You want me to give up that time, or hell, just relaxing on some of those hours. To just give you something for free. And the thing that gets me is a couple times I did do it for free, the people didn't even act on it. That's what really blew me up. Is like, one person, I took 2.5 hours and literally went like piece by piece to help them out. And I went and looked at their stuff 2 weeks later. They had fixed one thing. And it was like the smallest of things that they could have got done in like 3 minutes. And I was just like, yeah, that's it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. People are putting in.
So back to.
Go ahead.
To the original, point of my channel self-promotion. I'm not asking you for money. That day will come. But right now, I'm just asking you for a little click on my YouTube channel. And I guess what should I probably, you know, this is one of the things we've talked about. I guess I should have some sort of a goal by, like, let's say, I don't know, next week or two. I believe 167 now. So I guess what should I throw out there for my viewers as a number I want to hit in, say, a week's time?
Dude, let's see if we can get you to 200.
There you go.
That's reasonable.
I'm listening to the expert.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, right? And this isn't, I mean, it is self-promotion, so I'm going to call it what it is. But at some point, it's like, look, if you like what we're doing and you want us to be able to do more of it and you want us to dedicate more time to it and let the content get better and extend our reach and whatever, it doesn't hurt you to go click subscribe. It doesn't hurt you. And I'm not even saying just us. This applies to anybody you support. If they post something, you can click the retweet button. You can share it on Facebook. right? It doesn't, it literally costs $0 and almost zero time.
If you're talking about Magic or, you know, Hearthstone or whatever, and somebody happens to say, hey, who do you watch? You know, let them know. Well,
I do all the time. Like, people that have been on our show that we support their stuff or whatever, like, I have told many people about various guests we've had or friends of ours of the show. Like, just like,
I was absolutely about to say that. And also, Cardsphere, somebody, you know, that supports a whole bunch of creators. They have a whole bunch, there's a whole bunch of people they support that.
Yeah. And they are good supporters. Yeah,
we absolutely stand by their content.
They still go and comment on each of their sponsored people's stuff. They share their things. Like, they are a very active supporter for sure.
And we appreciate it.
But all right.
And if you're looking for other sources, you know, we've done at this point with 77 of these. We have had, I don't know the exact number of guests, but several guests.
Yeah.
Those are people that we definitely would recommend you go check out, because we're not just, contrary to what some people think, we don't just go out and look for, like, oh, well, you're black or you're female, you get to be on here. No, we check out your content before we bring you aboard, because we know that if you something that crazy happens, like, hey, you said I should watch this person, and then they did such and such thing.
Oh, real talk. I have turned down a couple people who wanted to be on the show. Like,
it comes with territory.
Yeah, that's something we have never said that publicly, I don't think. But there are definitely some people that we did not have on the show. And don't get me wrong, this isn't because, like, I think they're heinous or whatever. There's just some people that I don't think necessarily fit the brand of the show. So they were just not invited on. Not that we're mad at anybody, just some things don't align.
That's part of having the show. It's part of creating content, is figuring out, you know, what fits with your audience and what doesn't fit.
Well, all right, Brian, we're about 20 minutes in already. You know, we like to have fun, educate ourselves. What did you learn last week that you can share with the people?
All right. A few months ago, Bandai Namco released a Dragon Ball Z game. I know, one of the 30. You know, there's a lot of Dragon Ball Z games. But this one is called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, and it's kind of like a Dragon Ball Z as an RPG, kind of open world-ish. And in addition to that, they introduced a new game mode called Dragon Ball Z Card Warriors, and it's basically a CCG just as a free download inside the main game. Kind of like what the Witcher 3 did with Gwent, and I mean, a lot of people that probably never picked up a card game before in their life started playing Gwent. In The Witcher 3, Gwent went on to become its own separate card game, made them a whole bunch of money. So I think they're hoping this will be kind of a similar thing where, you know, get other people that are already kind of into Dragon Ball Z, obviously, but might also check out the card game. And it's actually a pretty fun game. I've been playing it for the past couple of days, and it's, you know, a lot of fun. You know, it's very Dragon Ball Z-ish, where somebody gets killed and it allows you to resurrect Goku or Frieza or whoever, and they get really angry and blow up everything, just like happens in the show.
That's kind of interesting. It is a peculiar tactic to take for a game, but if it works, it works.
Yeah. It definitely worked for The Witcher. Gwent became, you know, for one of the most popular side quests in the game. Then it became a separate game by itself that I think has already had a single player spinoff from the multiplayer card game, and you know, they took a chance on something that I think Final Fantasy had a card game in one of their games, but for the most part, it's not a thing that people do. Like, the modes are more of like, okay, if like for a game like this, they would say, hey, here's more fighting Frieza or Cell or whoever. But no, they went a different way, and from what I see, people are enjoying it.
Well, that's
there are a few people like, oh my god, why is this in my RPG? But there's a lot of people playing it too. I haven't had a problem finding a match over the past couple of days. There's a lot of people on there.
Well, in Dragon Ball, everything is popular always. So it doesn't surprise me at all that there's people who are playing it. Well, as for what I learned last week, I found out that apparently the pandemic is kicking the butt of some delivery companies. Because we had, matter of fact, it was the tokens I had ordered. I was like, okay, well, I want to make sure these get here before I move so I can get them up on the website and everything. And then I could just start shipping orders right after I move. So I paid a lot of money to have the 2-day express shipping. They took like 5 business days to get here.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that didn't really work out too well. And
did they at least?
My wife actually had something coming from a clothing company, I think, and she was also trying to get a couple of things like 2-day air from FedEx because she was not going to be here. So she's like, okay, let me get it here before I have to fly out. That also didn't get here in time. So it got here like the day after she left. So it's just like, yeah, apparently FedEx is just having a lot of problems. So that's just a heads up for y'all. If y'all need to order anything and you're considering paying for the overnight or 2-day air, whatever, through FedEx, I would say see if you can do without it, because you're probably going to spend money on something that's not going to get to you on time right now. I don't know why. I tried to look it up. There's no particular reason other than maybe they were shorthanded for a while and they got behind. And like everybody, you know, there's a bunch more things being ordered right now, you know, while people are at home and not out shopping. So maybe that contributed to it. I don't know. But
maybe Easter too. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of folks send cards and money and stuff, especially now. So maybe the holiday impending had something to do with it also.
Yeah, that's true. That is this coming weekend. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. There's a lot of reasons there, I'm sure. I just thought it was a neat little nugget because it's one of those things we haven't really talked too much about. You know, I think we've just accepted that what's happened with the pandemic is happening, you know, at this point. But here's the thing. It's the first time I've had to try to order from FedEx in a while. And, yeah, didn't get here on time. But let's get into some other news. So we had a lot of artists, we'll call it artist controversy in Magic this week. For those of you that don't know, let's start with the bigger issue, actually. There is an artist known as Jason Felix who did a Crux of Fate art for one of the special insert series that's going to be in Strixhaven. And within a couple of hours of it being up, there was an artist who, and I don't remember their name, I don't have it handy, who was over on DeviantArt, who had posted a thing on his Twitter and said, hey, I had one of my followers post this to me that this looks very much like a piece of art that I've done. And overlaid the piece, and there's a Nicol Bolas that looks pretty much exactly like what's in his stuff. It looks like maybe it was disjointed at one point just so it fit the image slightly better, but it's pretty much his Nicol Bolas. So then they got the internet talking, you know, the next day Wizards put out a statement saying like, yo, we're looking into this, you know, we're discontinuing working with Jason Felix, blah, blah, blah. And then today, just before we went live, Jason Felix had posted that he had waited to make a public response. He wanted to reach out to the artist, who I guess actually the name is here. Oh, actually, there's multiple affected artists. So, okay, because that's the other thing. The Ugin in the image looked like he had taken the head from the Ugin right off of another piece as well. Now, the Ugin, while bad, is slightly less problematic because it's at least a piece that Wizards owns. You're still stealing somebody else's artwork, but at least that's from something within the company. This other one was from an independent artist that was just put up over on DeviantArt, some fan art stuff. But anyway, Kit LaPena and Raymond Swanlin are the artists that he plagiarized. I mean, that's what we'll call it, because it's basically what it was. Yeah. And he just said, look, I was overworked. I have no excuse. I messed up, and I'll just try to make amends. He said he's going to reach out to compensate both of the artists and hopes to try to get their names associated with the artwork with Wizards and not his own. He says they don't deserve this. And he knows it's not much that he's doing, and he doesn't expect forgiveness. So to that end, I'll at least say, these are the types of apologies I can accept. Not saying that what he did was right, but at least he's saying, look, I screwed up. And I know I screwed up. I'm doing what I can to do right by these other people who were affected. I don't expect forgiveness. I know this is bad. So I'm like, cool, that part, good deal. But
we'll so you've see. Been in this. In,
go ahead.
You've been in this industry far longer than I have. Is this pretty much, is this career, especially with at least with Wizards, is this career ending for him?
With Wizards, yes. Wizards is not going to work with him anymore. So he did give up a money train, effectively. You know, because once you're in with Wizards, there's a chance you're going to get to do side projects. you know, website pieces, stuff for D&D, you know, whatever. You're part of their stable at that point.
The biggest card game out there.
Yeah, and they need thousands of pieces of art every year. You know, so once you're in, there's a good chance you're going to get to keep doing artwork. So, yeah, that's done for him. He says he was overworked and whatever, so I don't know where else his stuff was appearing. But I know that he's been really pimping his NFT stuff, and he rebuilt the website for that and whatnot, so that's probably where his time's been going, if I were guessing. So
I know for like print journalism, it's usually the death knell, but I've seen a couple of TV journalists that plagiarize and, you know, are basically, I think the biggest one was on CNN, there was somebody, and he still works there. So I guess, you know, it depends on kind of where you work and who you work for, and I guess what kind of ratings you have is how career is in other aspects.
And that's the thing, too. Like, Felix's art is kind of unique and specialized, and I don't know if that's going to fit everywhere. And we've just now, you know, as of the last year, starting to see artists that get cut off from companies. So we don't really know what that looks like in the grand scheme of things. So we'll probably have to come back and say, like, okay, let's look in 12 months, in 24 months, and kind of see where this comes from, right? Or where it goes. Because as much as I want somebody to be punished, I'm also not trying to take somebody's complete livelihood away and put them on the streets. But there has to be some middle ground somewhere. If it's, hey, maybe you have to start back from the bottom, maybe you're taking cheaper contracts so you can prove yourself again, you know, whatever it is, and you got to build back up over 2-3 years, something like that. It's hard, you know, now don't get me wrong, like when you do something outright heinous to another person, you know, you violate somebody or you're violent towards someone, that's a different conversation to me. But when you do something like this, where you have what's effectively just a case of bad judgment, if he is being honest and he really was overworked and whatever, and, you know, deadline was coming up in 3 days, you know, whatever, he did what a lot of people have done for various points and things of their life. Not saying it's right, just saying I see how it could happen if he's being honest. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people, I'm sure, that have done not necessarily this, but something, you know, especially with written stuff before we had Google, that didn't get caught.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's right for doing it. I'm just saying I see how it could happen. So I'm not trying to, you know, as they say, cancel somebody over this. But, yeah, you probably aren't going to get to work with Wizards anymore because you opened up a can of worms that could have got them in some financial trouble potentially.
Yeah.
Or at least created brand damage. So they're not going to tolerate that, especially when there's other people lined up to do artwork for them. Now
on the positive side, as we've talked about when they've had previous artist problems, it looks like there's going to be a job opening.
Yep. there's an opportunity.
This is a chance, another chance to address the diversity issues that we've been talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, and if Felix were to do the independent circuit, once we get back to doing conventions and, you know, rebuilds his name and does some artwork for people, then cool. Good for him. You know,
because I'm like you. I don't want to see somebody just unable to feed their family, but still, something like this, there do have to be consequences.
Yeah, there's got to be a punishment. That's the thing. And the punishment has to be significant enough that other people don't want to do it. Yeah, that's the thing. You have to find that balance that you're not pushing somebody into bankruptcy, but you're hurting them enough that other artists go like, yeah, I got to make sure I don't do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing to have happen, you know, especially for the type of card that was going to be like a special insert and you knew it was going to be getting attention and all this stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, bad judgment, bad decision. But it was definitely an interesting talking point. But for all the people who were saying like, oh, well, Wizard should have known better and they should have Google image searched the artwork and shit like that. Get off of it, right? That's not a thing. Like, Wizards, the art department there literally sees thousands of pieces of artwork a year. Literally thousands.
Yep.
Some that you will never see. Some that don't get approved. some that they commissioned and then they ended up not using it for whatever reason. Maybe the card changed that it was going to be on or whatever. List goes on and on. There's going to be a ton of things that they are not going to check. They're not going to check every single piece and scan every image in and do every, like, it's just not going to be a thing. And ask anybody who's worked for any business, who's done any convention, put together any magazine, newspaper, whatever. They've all hired artists and you did not even think for a second to go Google image search any of the stuff submitted to you. You just don't. Unless you have a reason to suspect it, why would you? Yeah. And at the end of the day, this isn't a Wizards problem. This is Jason Felix artist problem. He's the one who was being paid. He's the one that tried to slide by pieces of artwork that weren't his. So I get it. It's easy to be mad at the faceless entity and all that. Like, I get it. But you're just wrong. I mean, like, this is literally it. You're wrong. This isn't a Wizards problem. This is a Jason Felix problem. And as soon as it was brought to Wizards' attention, I have no doubt they went and talked to their legal department. And then the next day they made their statement. And they basically cut off ties with them. Yeah. Which is what you should do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked, the name I was struggling for was Fareed Zakaria at CNN. He got busted for plagiarism and he was suspended, but he does still work there, has a show that comes on every week. So I guess if you're popular enough, it's something you can come back from.
I guess so. But that wasn't the end of our artist controversy for the week. Carly Mazur, which I'm sure I'm butchering her last name, so I apologize if she's listening to this. But I couldn't find a pronunciation anywhere, so I'm just going with what I got. There is, in the same insert of cards, which is hilarious, the subset, we'll call it, Carly did the artwork for Faceless Looting. And that opened up a lot of discussions on what's good and bad art. What do people perceive as being magic quality art? You know, does it fit or not fit? And then I even saw people saying, like, well, people are just taking shots because Wizards gave a new woman a shot at doing artwork in Magic. And, you know, and I was like, okay, hold up. And this feels like a different conversation we need to have. Like, just talking about the artwork, because I didn't, no clue that this was, you know, a woman, because, I mean, a lot of people are identifying different ways. So when I see Carly, I don't assume, you know, but the artwork itself does look kind of out of place, y'all. Let's be real.
It is definitely different than any other Magic cards you're going to look at in most cases.
And I will say this about the art. When I saw it, the first thing I did is I went to the artist's website. Mostly because I was curious, like, okay, well, let me see what else they do. Because there's probably some reason that Wizards reached out to this person or chose to work with them. And honestly, the artwork on our site is really good. Now, it's not the style that I would necessarily, you know, hang up in my house or whatever. But the skill, you can see it. Like, their work is very good. But that doesn't feel like the same quality we got on this card. Now, and here's what's crazy about the artwork. Like, people... And I almost was assuming this too. I was curious, which is why one of the things I wanted to check on their website was that it appears to be a photo of a person with artwork done up on it over a background. But apparently the people in their artwork are actually painted to look like real images. So the skill is phenomenal. So from that standpoint, the actual skill it took, I'm like, no, that is great.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a stylistic choice.
Yeah. Now, the problem, and this is where I know everybody gets to have an opinion or whatever. The problem for me is it just looks unfinished. Like, everywhere the red is at, like the red, I don't know what you would call that, like the dress piece or whatever over this person, just literally looks like there's a red outline and somebody took MS Paint and filled it in. Like, the headpiece just has a red border with almost no shadow or shading. There, for some reason, there's two red dots over the eyes. And then the liquid falling out of the bowl, which I guess might supposed to be blood or something, just has no texture to it. Again, it looks like MS Paint outline and somebody just hit the red dropper thing and filled it in. Right? That's my problem with it. And what's weird is this artist also did another card in the set, Harmonize. And Harmonize looks so much better. And it's the same style. So for me, it's not that the artist style itself is bad. It's just that particular card looks unfinished. Now, I will say this too, that people are talking about Carly now, and I'll guarantee you their website's gotten a million hits probably in the last 2 days because of all the probably not a million, probably a few thousand. But those are views and hits that it wouldn't have gotten had they not submitted that artwork. So is it that bad, you know, at the end of the day? I don't know. But that became the question,
you know,
was...
We're people that create content, and it's rare when you create something that everybody likes. It's almost impossible.
Oh, sure. I just think it's an interesting thing, right? Because at what point, like, because one of the things people have been saying is like, well, if it gets you to think differently or view artwork differently or magic differently, then maybe it's a good piece of art. Maybe.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, if that's your definition, I can't argue with it too much. I would question if, like, this meets the creative brief or quality of artwork for Magic. Because, and there's a lot of different art styles being depicted in these, I guess they're called the Mystical Archives in this subset. But they all have a certain level of finish. You know, I guess the best way I would describe that I don't think you have in this one. Even where the artworks and the styles are different, and some are darker and some are brighter and some are more traditional, and, you know, like some are done with a lot of like shapes and different things. Like they all look complete and finished, even if they don't necessarily fit Magic art style. Like there's a bunch that I would say don't fit what you would expect to see on a Magic card. But I think that's the point of doing this whole Mystical archive thing. So I don't know. It kind of put me in a weird place because I don't want to be overly judgmental of somebody else's work. Because again, art is largely subjective. But for me, it's the first time I can remember where I've probably seen a Magic card of any era, I think, where I just looked at the card and went like, man, I don't even know if I want to play with that on a card. Like, it's weird. Like, and it's not even that it, because you know, people say, what makes you uncomfortable? It's like, it's not even uncomfortable. It just looks incomplete. Like, that's literally it. Like, that's my only gripe about it. It just looks incomplete. I feel like if somebody took, man, I don't know, 10 minutes and just went in and kind of like added some shading and texture to just the big red drape everywhere, the artwork goes up 1,000%. But like I said, the other piece they did, the Harmonize, great. So like, I don't know. I don't know. But people were definitely up in arms about it. People were definitely more adamant about being mad about it than I am. But yeah, I don't know. What did you think when you saw it?
I mean, definitely different, but I'm somebody that, you know, I can't draw a straight line. It's hard for me to even begin to criticize art. But yeah, certainly stands out. It doesn't look like any other Magic card in the set, I would say, certainly.
Yeah, I don't know.
And as you said, I'm not certainly not, you know, angry about it.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at, right? I'm not angry about it. I just don't know if I want one. Like, it'll probably be, like, and this is what's sad, but I genuinely feel like if I open some of those, I'm probably just going to sell them regardless of what they're worth because it's a card I know I'm never going to play with. I just don't have a desire. Like, and that's weird, man. I don't think I've ever said that about a Magic card. But I don't know. And it's weird because, like I said, you can tell there's skill there. It's just like you got to a point and then quit. It's almost like, well, to Carly's credit, looks like the deadline was looming and they didn't want to plagiarize, so they just threw the rest of the paint on.
You go.
You know, I'm just saying, that's sort of what it feels like. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what it feels like. So
we all know about when the deadline is looming.
Yep. So I don't know. I'm probably going to get some hate for that opinion, but you know, I just figured I'd give my two cents since everybody else had at this point. In other news, I'm sure if you have been anywhere near the YouTubes, or hell, probably just the internet at this point, you may have heard about one Mr. Beast, who the dude has kind of changed the game on YouTube. And I mean, rocketed up to, I think now like 50 million subscribers. He's got three different channels now. And I think one of his other channels, I think is coming up on like 10 million or something. And then his new one just started. So I don't know what it's at. Probably already.
Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to say that most of the countries on Earth don't even have 50 million people in them.
Yeah. Like,
that's just a mind-boggling number.
He's killing it.
50 million people consuming your content.
Yeah. The dude now has pretty much the Midas touch when it comes to YouTube. Like, it's crazy. But in line with that, he is joined with a company, I believe, called Creative Juice. And they are creating a juice fund, is what they're calling it. And he is pledging to give $2 million to support YouTubers. Now, before people get excited, he's not going to go out and find, like, you know, somebody that's just starting and give them $20,000. That's not what's going on.
That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, these are going to likely be things that are channels that are investable, where you have shown some amount of promise, some amount of work, some consistency. You've built up, I would assume the smallest, you'd probably have to be at least like 10,000 subscribers to like prove you've really got a network and longevity. Because one of the problems they've already talked about is they don't really know how they're going to value each YouTube channel yet. Because nobody's really taken the stance to try to do it this way. Because he doesn't want to buy any type of majority ownership. His goal is strictly to give these channels some money to allow them to make better content or to help fund their next couple of big projects and then just get a percentage or whatever. So he's not trying to come in and take over channels and get like 30-40% of every channel or whatever. Like, that's not the goal. It's truly to help out artists and, you know, as an investor, get a small kickback. And I think he said,
and that's very much part of his brand, is helping people.
Oh, yeah. And I think he said he's going to be donating or investing between $25,000 and up to $250,000, you know, depending on the channel and the projects and stuff like that. And he said it came about because when he was really starting to take off, where he got stuck was, you know, he would have people agree to pay, you know, X amount to sponsor a video, whatever. So he went and spent the money, did this big project. And then they wouldn't pay him for 6 months. So he couldn't even capitalize on the thing he did. So now you've got to like scramble and come up with ideas to you get that big check so you can apply that to your next thing. And then use that sponsor money to do the next thing and the next thing. So he's trying to, I guess, in some way circumvent that for some people and make life a little easier so they can get on that roll, get that string of supporters, you know, advertisers, whatever, and really try to take off and build their brand. So I think it's a very cool idea, you know, that, and for those who don't know about Mr. Beast, he has literally gone out and just like bought out 5 stores and then just taken all the stuff to give it to like a Goodwill level store. You know, he has gone out and I think he had bought something like $1 million worth of food for these food kitchens and stuff. Like, the dude's just, like, literally, he's doing what I would love to do if I had that much money. Like, you know, just doing contests where he's just giving away cars.
Yep.
You know, he's done contests where he's giving away houses. It's amazing. You know, and for no good reason, like, just because he can. And it's just him hanging out with his boys on his YouTube channel, as he refers to them as the boys. You know, and just having a good time and doing nice things for people. You know, there was,
and it's so refreshing to see somebody like that succeed, because let's be perfectly honest. I mean, including myself, so much of what's on YouTube, you know, is, you know, let's say complaining about a thing or talking, pointing out negative. To see somebody whose entire brand is just, you know, to just give you the good feelings and to help people is incredible.
Yeah, and I think other people have started trying to follow his example. I see a lot more people doing philanthropic videos. Even the people that are doing prank videos are doing them with like a positive spin. You know, I saw somebody going like around, and one dude was just going out and giving ramen noodles to college students. You know, like, but the kind of like, and I don't think it's ever going to completely change because, you know, negativity sells. But it's cool that people are at least looking for different positive spins and using him as an example. So, I mean, good on him. I hope it works. I mean, you know, Jimmy, if you're listening, I know somebody who's got a channel. If you want to support a black creator, look me up. But realistically, I don't think I'm even near big enough for what they're going to be really looking for. Honestly, I would probably be.
But again, we don't even really know where he's going with this.
That's fair. Yeah. But I would think, really, if anything, I would be on the absolute lowest end of what they're looking for. I would think realistically, they're probably going to be trying to find those channels that are in the like 50 to 100,000 range as far as subscribers that maybe just aren't able to get quite enough revenue to do the bigger things they want to do. And like, you know, just a small infusion of cash could really help them take off. Those are probably the people he's going to be looking for. But,
or, you know, maybe he's going to do like a bar rescue where he takes something that's flagging and just like, you know, does like from the ground up, this is how you fix XYZ thing. That would also be entertaining.
Yeah, he could.
Again, I don't know that's what he's doing. But hey, now that I put it out there, if somebody wants to do that kind of a thing, I would absolutely watch that. I'm sure lots of other people would too.
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest thing and the most interesting thing to come out of it, if we find out down the road, will probably be how they value the channels. You know, because I think there's a lot as far as like what type of content the people are doing, what subject matter is it in, what's the expertise of the person, what other connections do they have, what other social networks have they been able to leverage. Like, I think there's a lot of parts that you could declare value for or measure. So it'll be very interesting to see how each person is looked at or invested into, depending on what the valuation is. Because I don't know right now, to my knowledge, I couldn't find anything that has any clear way to value a YouTube channel or a social media network. So, like, even for myself, and I can tell you, I'm in the process of trying to find a couple other partners or sponsors. Like, I kind of have to make up my rates based on the reach I have and whatever, because there's not a clear, there's no, like, table to follow, right? I can't be like, okay, well, I have this many followers on Twitter and this many on YouTube, and I should charge people X amount of dollars. Like, there's some, if you look around, there's some loose numbers that people say, well, people in this range generally charge this much, depending on if it's a one-off thing or a monthly thing or whatever. But otherwise, I just kind of go like, this feels like this much work, so it's probably worth this much money. I know I can get this much from these other people, or I have turned down this, so I at least have like a range. And then I'll just see if you say yes or not. Like, that's kind of what's happening, you know? Like, fortunately, I know a few people, so I kind of, where they can tell me, because, you know, a lot of people have their contracts private. So I'm like, hey, can you give me an idea of what your deal is with this thing? So I kind of know, you know, and then I can compare like their reach to mine and, you know, but it's not an exact science. Yeah, I think a lot of people have this idea that at some point you're going to get a lot of followers or a lot of subscribers or whatever, depending on your platform. And then there's just going to be money. And it's like, no, you can have two people with the exact same numbers making completely different amounts of money. Like, really just
things like the category matters. The ads for certain categories are different rates.
Oh, yeah. I would even say even within the same categories, you know, if. Me, I'm trying to think of people that are like similarly to my size, but like me or MTG Jeff or Absurd Heroin, you know, like somebody in that space, like each of us is going to have a different value to the promoter or company we decide to work with, depending on if they're a clothing brand, or are they an urban brand, maybe, right? That's going to do better with me than it is going to do with one of them, right? Like, it's, there's, you kind of have to know that when you observe those partnerships, you know. So it'd be really interesting. I think if this works, this could be a very big thing for those in the content creator space, that it will start to set numbers possibly for kind of what targets should be or what people should be paying or whatever. And it could change the game, because there's a lot of people who I guarantee you have been underpaying for promotional help from some content creators because the creators don't know and they're just happy to take some money. But if we start figuring out, like, hey, well, X amount of followers or X amount of subscribers or whatever is worth roughly this much money, well, that's going to change the game for sure.
I had somebody tell me I wasn't charging enough, which blew my mind that they were, first of all, that nice, and second of all, you know, that honest about it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are in that space. That's what I'm saying. Like, this has potential.
It's very common for content creators to undercharge for their services, because this is, so much of this is new territory.
Well, not just that, but think, you know, well as I do, think about how many people stream and they have logos all over their stream and they're making $0 off those.
Yeah.
Right? That's going to still result in exposure and whatever, maybe a very small amount, but they're not getting anything for that. And I will tell you, just, I'm going to be upfront. Like, I have reached out to some people and they've been like, oh, well, we have this affiliate program, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool, I'm good. And I've turned it down. So, I mean, I get it. I'm not saying I'm too good or you shouldn't do affiliate things, but like, depending on your brand and what you're trying to do and, you know, what your layouts are and everything else, not everything is going to be for you. But you also don't have to take every single thing. Like, you can wait, because there's still, I don't know if I want to say ramifications, because it may not be bad, but who you work with and what other brands you have up there, whatever, could potentially cost you opportunities. And as an example, you know, there's all these like gamer drink things, right? Yep. You can pick whatever one. I feel like I see a new one like every 4 or 5 months being promoted to me. But a lot of those just do affiliate deals, right? You put your logo on the site. If somebody uses your link, you get like 10% of the sale or whatever, right? Well, if you're already putting those on your website or on your stream or whatever, well, somebody else who might like you or want to work with you, who has a brand, who's going to pay you like straight up, you know, maybe something modest, like $100 a month or something, they might go, oh, well, you're already working with them. Yeah, I probably won't reach out to you. Not saying that you shouldn't ever take them. Like, sometimes you're just trying to get your foot in the door. But just putting brands on there for the sake of putting brands on there, that doesn't do you any good. Like, you don't look better to anybody because you have logos on your stuff. Like, I have not looked at a streamer or a content creator at any point and thought they were better or worse because they had a whole bunch of logos on their thing. I mean, mine right now has two. It's Ultra Pro and Cardsphere. That's it. Like, and they are very active in supporting my stuff. So they get FaceTime. That's it. And I'm working, right, reaching out to a couple of others that I can't talk about right now. But yeah, I mean, you know, would I like more? Yeah, but I'm happy with where things are. And I would prefer to have partners that I can have like real relationships with when necessary. So I'm just pickier and choosier, but it goes with my branding. You know, if I was doing something else or I had a different perspective, then, you know, maybe it'd be different. But really, I'm more excited just to see what comes from this project with Mr. Beast and just, you know, this juice fund. And we probably won't hear much about it for probably another, I would probably say up to 9 months probably. But it'd be really neat to see where does this settle and what does this mean for the industry. Because before this, we only had, I can't remember the term, but basically you'd have those companies that come along and then they want to work with like 4 or 5 channels. So they have all these channels under their umbrella and then they take like 20% of your ad revenue to, you know, potentially give you more reach or whatever. And like, that was the only thing anybody's ever done before this, at least to my knowledge. I don't know of any other thing that's been their to truly invest and push people. And even over time, that other model has broken down because those companies just kept bringing more and more people in. So they got to the point where they're not even giving much back other than, here, we have some resources, or you can go check this website or whatever. But they're not even doing anything other than just making money off of you. So even that's largely fallen by the wayside. So I don't know where this is headed, but it's very, very cool. It could be a very interesting development. And with Mr. Beast being behind it, I almost have no doubt that if him just get hit, you know what it is? It's like the content creator equivalent of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Like him just being involved. It's like if Mark Cuban invests in my company and he just makes two tweets about it, my business is going to go up 5%. You know, I imagine the same is going to happen with Mr. Beast. If nobody knows who I am and Mr. Beast tweets about, hey, I just invested in, you know, let's say Power Dragons Gaming, blah, 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 right? No doubt I'm going to get a bunch of hits that day and probably for the next month. So even though he's giving them money, like he's going to be able to make that money, make more money on day one. So it's going to be very cool. It's definitely a development I'm going to be keeping eyes on. That's for sure. And Magic Legends, we're in what, like end of week two now of this game being out? And it was weird. It had very mixed reviews, right? It came out, people were kind of put off by some of the problems it had. But hey, you know, it's open beta. Also, you assume day one games are going to have problems, like server issues or whatever. There's going to be some lag. But to their credit, they have gone in and really addressed a lot of the issues. I think it was on like day three or four. They were just like, hey, look, you know, we heard this. We fixed this for the, you know, they fixed some stuff for the drop system. They made the Dimir Assassin, since it was previously only available in the boosters, now it's a time unlocked thing, depending on what level, I think. They made a lot of good changes. And I have to admit, even just playing the difference between day one and day three, whatever they did behind the scenes on the servers to alleviate the weight on it is totally noticeable. Because even when I was streaming the first day, there was some like rubber banding a little bit that was happening. Like, and I had no skips, no nothing the next time I was playing. So they are being very responsive. They're doing, as far as I can tell, what they need to do to keep it playable. Now, going forward, you know, they've even said, like, what does the end game look like and whatever. You know, they don't really have that many people that are even getting close to it yet. So I don't know. There's still things to be found out. But I just thought it was cool that they were being responsive and really saying, like, hey, we hear you. We've already made these changes. We still have these other changes coming. So good on them at Cryptic. I mean, they have experience doing actual MMOs. So it's not like they don't know how to manage servers and whatnot and make those adjustments on the fly and rebalance things. So hopefully that experience comes through and helps keep this game relevant for at least some reasonable amount of time. They did say that there's other classes and things they already have lined up to release, so you'll be able to see some other stuff soon. So I don't know. It sounds like they've got some ideas and some ways it's going to go, but we'll see. I don't know. Have you gotten a chance to play this game yet, Brian?
I have none. I'm probably going to wait for a console, because given the choice, I just prefer to play, especially like action type RPGs on controller. I don't think they have a date yet for when it's going to be on PS4, Xbox, but it's supposed to be something they're working on. So
I will say this. I did see some people say that the game is easier to play with a controller. So
that doesn't surprise me in the least. So yeah, I think I will wait for the controller.
Yeah, that could definitely be
like
a difference.
Some games, like, you know, like for example, a Civilization type game, I feel like you need the mouse, but
yeah. So it'll be cool to see kind of where this goes. Like I'm not that high yet. I think I'm only at like level 16 or 18, something like that. So I will get on probably after I move and I'm in the house for a bit and settled. I'll probably be doing that in some of my relaxation time. I may even stream it a little bit just to kind of see, you know, what some of the other zones look like as you get a little deeper in some of the missions. But yeah, I am impressed so far at just their responsiveness, because they could have buckled under all that, you know, and we'll see. But the people who've played it through seem to be sticking with it and enjoying it. And I think a lot of the people I've seen complaints from, like, expected it to be something it's not. And that's why even when I gave my review of it, I said, look, if you want the high pressure, high octane, you know, whatever, like, this is just not going to be the game for you. This is more akin to Diablo, to Gauntlet Legends, you know, like, it's a more of a chill hack and slash, do some little mini mission sort of things. Like, it's, to me, it had a very chill vibe that I could just relax and play, and it's not all that high pressure, and it's kind of interesting. So, you know,
and yeah, different people like kind of different things from their action-y RPGs.
Yeah. So we'll see where it ends up, but we will definitely keep eyes on it, see where we are here in another couple months with the game. All right. So we kind of want to, we touched on it last week about the whole Killian Liu thing, the, I guess we'll call him the face of the Silver Quill in Strixhaven, the next Magic set. And we kind of went like, okay, you're sort of pushing a little bit of this whole gotta like protect the family honor sort of thing or whatever. That's sadly the typical Asian racial trope that they use for a lot of stories. But it looked like, okay, well, maybe we're going to play around with it and he's going to kind of work out of it and overcome it or whatever. But then a couple of the cards that came out this past week that got previewed that had his imagery or flavor text pretty much just played up to that entirely. So that was a big letdown for people, sadly. Even there was even another card, and I wish I would have taken the name of the card down, but it had a reference to honor mages, and one of them appears to be an Asian woman showing another person how to use a spell or honor magic or something in the picture. So it's like, even that kind of feeds into it a little bit, and it's just like, well, what are we doing, you know? It's kind of like we talked about last week. Like, can you do that? Yes. There are some particular ways that when it's truly important to the story and we're going to use that as a basis to push through to something else, then, like, maybe. Right? It's like we talked about. Like, Good Times, yes, was a Black family living in the projects, dealing with the issues, and using that to catapult, like, you know, the moral of the story of the week or whatever sort of thing. But conversely, like we talked about, you had Family Matters. That was completely different. You know, or even Blackish, you know, completely different. And you can do positive things and tell those stories and whatever, and that's all good. But why, like, when you have such a small amount of time to tell a story, especially about a new character that's not going to get a ton of face time within the set, you kind of have to just skip past that and let's go to the deeper end of what we're going to do with this character, because otherwise it's just going to come off lazy and tropey. And then what do we do with that? Okay, so I'm going to end up finishing out the show here by myself. Brian had a family, I won't say emergency, but just something he had to go take care of. So I'm going to go ahead and close this. But, you know, the problem really that we have with the whole idea of traditional tropes just being thrown out there really is largely because in something like Magic, you don't have the time to really develop that appropriately, right? If you take a character, in this case, you know, we're talking about Killian, and you're using 3, 4, 5 opportunities where you're building the character and mentioning the character, and it's coming back to just the traditional, like, honor, dishonor trope. At what point does somebody who isn't a super entrenched player or fan get to see the other side of that character, get to see where that story goes? You know, I think that's the issue there. Because, and even then, I think every product and how you would portray that is different. You know, when you have a TV show or a book or a movie, or in this case, a card set or whatever it is, you know, maybe a one act play, you know, whatever, each one of those is going to treat those conversations differently because of the amount of time and development space you have available. You know, like, I thinking about it over, you know, how you can develop the story, some of it is just where you start from. And I think I posted about this in a discussion we were having, I think in the show's Discord earlier today, actually, or maybe it was yesterday. But using myself as an example, you could tell a version of my story where I am the stereotype, you know, black, poor, you know, drugs and abuse in the house, you know, the whole nine yards, right? Like I said it before, for anybody who's followed my content or my streams, like I effectively could have been a statistic a couple of different times, right? So you could tell that version of the story. And maybe it's about, like, you know, certain things happening to overcome things and blah, blah, whatever. And you want to tell that story. Like, okay, there is a way you can treat that. But that's also going to require you having time and expertise to treat that story properly and to also have the time to do that development. If you're doing something with a shorter time frame or a shorter amount of interaction with the consumer of that product, then maybe you need to start later. You know, maybe you start at college years or, you know, first large community projects or whatever. And then maybe you just touch on some of those other things as where the motivations or the efforts or the recognition comes from. You know, and you just tell the story from there, right? So I'm not saying they can't both get to the same end, but right now it's not looking good for Killian. I can't see where we're going to have enough time to really develop this, unless he's going to become like a recurring character, but I doubt it because he's apparently like a student at the school. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's tough. And you know, I'll also say this, that the timing doesn't feel good. You know, when you're talking about the other abuse and things we've been seeing against the Asian community lately, it feels bad. You know, even more so, honestly, it probably feels even worse than it normally would, just because of the circumstances in the world right now. I'm not saying that makes it any better, but I get how, if you're part of that community, it just feels like one more thing piled on right now. You know, unfortunate for Wizards, bad timing, but I mean, I get it. I don't fault them. You know, I've been in that situation with other things. So yeah, it's tough. But hopefully, you know, they've got a new director in there to help with these types of things. Maybe we'll see less of it, but yeah, it's not going to make it any easier for people right now, you know. And honestly, you know, while it's a topic right now, if you see anyone or anything that can potentially cause harm to the Asian community right now, you should be doubling down to speak against that thing, to deter that thing or that person, and to really be supportive of that community. Because some of the stuff that's come out lately and some of the things I've seen lately are just, I mean, no other word other than despicable, truthfully. And it's been going on, and I'm glad that we at least have cameras and cell phones and whatever else to capture a lot of this now. So now it can become part of the national conversation and we can talk about it. But yeah, I mean, they are just as much a part of this community as I am, as you are. There's no reason for what's been going on. So let's do our part to try to stomp a lot of this out, for sure. Now, the next thing I want to touch on real quick is, we have told you the last couple of weeks about a couple of Kickstarter projects. I will say, if you're listening to this on day one that it goes live, you have probably about 8 to 12 hours you can get in and order a copy of Coyote and Crow. They are actually coming up on possibly hitting $1 million. I mean, we had talked about it before that they could probably get close. Wasn't sure if they're going to hit it, but they are damn close. They are over, they're about almost 940,000 right now, with 25 hours to go as the time of this recording. So good on them. Hopefully they do hit it and really show people that, hey, Native Americans can sell in gaming or in entertainment, period. You know, so good on them. Matter of fact, I will be ordering a copy right after the show is done, so I can make sure I get one, because I thought I did it and I didn't. So I'm going to make sure I get on and back the project. Also, the Our Heroes Rock project is also going pretty well. They've gotten another few thousand dollars there. They're at about 100, almost starting to approach 120,000, but they still have like 11 days to go, so they've got a while. But yeah, check out those two projects if you haven't. And hopefully y'all didn't miss out on a chance to get your Black is Magic Secret Lair, because that went away as of today when we're recording. So, and putting my money where my mouth is, I got five. I pre-ordered three regular ones and two foil ones. So we're probably going to use one or two of those as giveaways down the road. But I just thought it was a cool thing to get, and I had the opportunity to snag them. Things were fortunate for me. So hopefully we'll be able to give some of those away down the road. Then the last thing we want to touch on today, since we talked a lot about art this week in kind of its different forms, is really like, when is art not art? And I bring this up because Pleasant Kenobi had posted a video on YouTube talking about art in general and the way it's approached and how people feel about it, and, you know, lightly about art history. And somebody responded to his post on Twitter on the topic and was basically saying, when a company pays you to do artwork for a promotion, advertisement, whatever, it's no longer art. And I found that to be interesting. You know, the examples I used as a counter argument are, I could have a vision or be somebody that's known for doing humanitarian efforts or whatever, and Coca-Cola comes to me and says, hey, I want you to do this piece for our Super Bowl ad in a magazine, or I want you to do this commercial for the Super Bowl. That doesn't automatically mean I wouldn't continue to still do the artistic things that support my vision, my philanthropy, whatever. Like, I can still work that into the effort I'm being paid for. Like, just because it's paid doesn't mean that it can't still be artistic. I mean, I would even argue, like, that's, I don't know if privilege is a word, but maybe it is. Like, it's the type of thinking that basically says, well, your art is less art if you are in a position that you have to take money from companies regularly to get paid. You know, like, it's very weird. You know, I also said, okay, well, let's say when Kobe Bryant passed and I'm a great muralist and I was a big Kobe Bryant fan, I'm going to go out and do a mural. And Nike comes and reaches out and says, you know what? Obviously, we had a partnership with Kobe. He means a lot to the company. We want to pay for you to do this mural in this location. We're just asking that, you know, you make sure the swoosh is on his jersey somewhere and he's wearing a pair of, like, you know, whatever, Mamba 13s or something or whatever in the imagery. Does that make the mural any less artistic? Right? It's still coming from somebody who is a fan. It's still coming from somebody who wants to do a tribute piece. Sure, it has the Nike branding in particular spots because Nike paid for it, but that doesn't make the mural any less artistic. You know, I would even argue that artist stuff by nature sometimes just has messages. You know, think about all the stuff you see from, you know, wartime during World War II. There's so many things that appeared in magazines, you know, in newspapers, political cartoons, you know, whatever. Like, those were artistic. Those had messages, and people were still paying for those. Like, and we don't know the story to every piece of art. You know, a bunch of the stuff from Van Gogh and whatever through the years, like, they were doing artwork to be paid. You know, a lot of families commissioned artists to do pictures of the matriarch and the patriarch to be in the houses or whatever, right? Like, those are things that doesn't make it, like, and even now we look at those and say, oh man, these are brilliant pieces of art by these great artists, but they were particularly done for these people's homes or to have a stately piece in their office. Does that make them less art? Hell, there's a good chance that the people they depicted in the artwork probably even said, well, hey, yeah, I have this blemish on my left cheek. How about we make that not look so bad or whatever, right? Probably not the absolute true depiction of the people, but it's still art. You know, like, so I just found it to be a very interesting perspective for someone to have. And that was the line that, like, well, if a company pays for it, it now just becomes propaganda, you know, or if they commissioned it or whatever. But I still stand that, like, maybe, you know, and I'm not going to say that's completely wrong. Like, maybe there's a point where that's true on some level. But I know I have done work with different groups, not necessarily like, you know, paintings or anything, but I have brought my perspective to a conversation, a project, an effort. Even though somebody was paying me, it didn't make it any less my idea or my thoughts or whatever that got implemented. You know, like that's the reason I pushed back and said, like, well, really, is this not art? You know, like, I don't know. I think it's just a neat conversation to have. And I didn't want to start a bigger fight on Twitter, but, you know, the more I thought about it, I said, this almost feels like it's coming from a privileged position of saying, like, well, you know, someone that just does free artwork out into the world has a better chance of having their stuff looked at as true art. But if you have to be paid for yours, then it's not necessarily art. You know, like, it's a little weird. It feels like a weird, and I don't think that's what they were aiming for at all. I don't think that's what they're intending, but that's sort of the vibe I got the more I thought about it. Like, that's a weird bit of delineation to have for when something is art and when something is not art. And art in the end is all subjective, even that, on how we view something to be certain levels of artistic or not. You know, I know for me, every time I was younger and I would go to a museum, I would see these abstract pieces of just like metal jumbled together or something splatter painted on a wall. And, you know, the tour guide would try to tell you, like, well, the artist was trying to show their pain going through, you know, I don't know, postmenopause, blah, blah, whatever, or whatever the thing was. And I'm like, it's just splatter paint, right? I don't, like, to this day, for me, I look at that and go, like, it is artsy. Like, somebody took some art tools and made a thing on a canvas. I guess it's art by definition. Is it art with a message? I don't really think so. But that's just me personally, right? Like, there's almost a level where I look at something and have to go, like, if I think there's no way I could do that, like, then for sure it's art. You know what I mean? Like, but, and that's probably a terrible measure, you know, just being honest. But I think each of us is going to have a different view of what is good and what's bad. You know, do I think that means something is worth more or not? No, I think things are worth whatever people are willing to pay for them. And people can be fans of different things, and they can, you know, like, I'm sure we were talking about this off the air, right? There's probably people who are super excited to go see Kong versus Godzilla. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'll get around to it. I don't know if I need another Godzilla movie, you know, whatever. But does that make it any less of an art piece? Not really. You know, there's other people that are going to love it, and it's speaking to people, other people, and there's, you know, going to be subplots and messages that other people may take something away from that I wouldn't. So placing a value on the art, I think, is where we start to have problems. You know, I think there's a lot of levels to art, and I don't know if there's really a good way to measure it. And maybe that's the best part about art, is that it is subjective. And it can mean one piece could mean a lot of things to different people. You know, a lot of us could stare at a painting and we could all take something different away from it. And I think that's kind of, if nothing else, just kind of a beauty in life. I just wish we applied that to real conversation more often and just say, hey, we know there's different levels and different parts to this, and let's talk about it as such, instead of trying to make everything absolutes. Because when you try to make artwork absolutes, it just becomes a weird conversation. Well, y'all, I'm going to sign off here for myself and Brian. Remember, if you want to catch Brian when he's not on the show, you can find him at DL Caesar over on YouTube. And he does have a family channel with his wife and his Rugrats that is Alan's Ever After. If you've not checked it out, go do that. And if you want to catch me, as always, I am at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. You can usually find me on Facebook Gaming and on Twitch and on YouTube, or you can follow me over on Twitter. I hear I'm a pretty good follow these days. And as always, whenever you're listening, this is the podcast right now. Whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And for a little longer, while some of us are trying to get our vaccines, please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans that are icky with the COVID, so we can get back to gaming and gathering sooner rather than later. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.